Eric, would you get the doors, please? I think our children are solidly into summer mode. A little relaxed this morning. That's a good thing. Well, take your Bibles, turn back to the book of Romans, chapter 8. We're going to be focusing on the first part of the text that Olga read for us this morning, beginning in verse 14. But as I'm sure you all know, on this Pentecost Sunday, we do celebrate the pouring out of the Holy Spirit on those first followers of Christ. Happened in Jerusalem some 50 days after Jesus' resurrection. And it was on that day, the church, and I mean church with a big C, of Christ, that was the day we were born. The gospel was preached. It was preached miraculously in all kinds of foreign languages. You read of that in the book of Acts. And that was a sign that the good news of Christ is, as Jesus himself said, for all nations. It's for all peoples. The gospel is for everyone, everywhere. And so on this Pentecost Sunday, we rejoice because those first followers of Christ receive power to faithfully proclaim and tell in witness, to tell others about who is the Lord and Savior of the world. And they did that through the power of the third person of the Trinity, the Holy Spirit. Now we remember and we rejoice about all these things today because without this day, without Pentecost, and without the work of the Holy Spirit, we're not here. We're not here. Have you ever thought about that? The church isn't born without Pentecost, and the message of Jesus would be buried. Maybe it would even be lost into ancient history. But that's not the case. Thanks be to God, and praise be to our Lord and Savior and to the Holy Spirit. Now, much more modestly, infinitely more modestly, today, on this Pentecost Sunday, it also marks the last sermon in our first year of hearing from God's Word using what is called the narrative lectionary. We began this journey way back on September 9th of the previous year. And as you may remember, the narrative lectionary is a selection of biblical texts that really follows the arc of God's story beginning in the early books of the Old Testament and continuing through to now to the epistles in the New. And the purpose of this narrative lectionary is to more deeply connect us as followers of Jesus with the story of God revealed in the Bible so that we might know how our individual and how our personal stories are to be understood and are to be shaped by the greater story of our triune God. And so now we've come to the end of year one. Today marks the end of that because the narrative lectionary runs over a four-year period of time from early September to early June each year. And we'll begin year two. We're going to start again in the second year of this on September 8th of 2019, of this year. But I think it's really fitting that we come to the end of it now, of year one, that it ends on Pentecost with a text from Romans that is just filled with teaching on the work of the Holy Spirit in our lives as followers of Christ. And in these verses, Paul does not exhaust all the ways the Holy Spirit works in our lives. But he does declare, I see four very important things that the Holy Spirit does in us and does for us. And I think these are all things we need to be reminded of and constantly remembering in our own lives. And if we do that, we'll be empowered. We'll be grateful people. So let's dive in. We're going to start in verse 14. And Paul begins, "For those who are led by the Spirit of God are the children of God." Now, the first thing that the Spirit does for us in these verses and for all the followers of Jesus is this: the Spirit leads us into holiness. The Spirit leads us into holiness. we need to understand that verse 14 is really an elaboration of what comes before in verses 12 and 13. So let's just look up in our Bibles just a few verses before. Paul had written, "Therefore, brothers and sisters, we have an obligation, but it's not to the flesh," meaning our sinful natures, "to live according to it. For if you live according to the flesh, you will die. But if by the Spirit you put to death the misdeeds of the body," again, body here meaning your sinful nature, "you will live." It is the Holy Spirit within us that prompts us. It's the Holy Spirit that strengthens us to live in ways that please God, that more and more enable us to put to death those acts, those thoughts, those attitudes that are contrary to God's will. In other places of Scripture, this is spoken of as the sanctifying work of the Spirit. It is the Spirit within you that convicts you of sin. It is the Spirit within you that enables you to confess your sins. It is the Spirit within you that draws you into repentance of sins and then empowers you to resist the temptation to continue in sin and disobedience. Now, of course, we know both from Scripture and from experience, that does not mean that we ever reach that point, that pinnacle, that plateau, where we stop struggling with sin. Paul speaks about that very powerfully in the previous chapter in Romans chapter 7. However, our growth in holiness, though perhaps slow in many areas, will be evident over your lifetime because of the power and the persuasive presence of the Holy Spirit that is in you. And He leads you into that life where you live more and more in ways, and I live more and more in ways that are pleasing to God. That's a gift. The Holy Spirit leads us into this deeper relationship of obedience to Christ. Now, secondly, if the Holy Spirit convicts us of sin, the Spirit also convinces us of who we truly are. And that's in the latter part of verse 14. You are, I am, a child of God. A child of God. So powerful is this work of the Holy Spirit in us, Paul says, that it replaces fear with freedom. Don't you love that? That it replaces fear with freedom and draws us into this intimate relationship with our forgiving and our loving Heavenly Father. In verse 15, Paul writes that we have been adopted by God. I think sometimes we have some confusion about what it means to be an adopted child of God. And here, one of the commentaries I read getting ready for this Sunday by John Stott clarified it for me. So let me just share what he had to say, or at least to write. He writes, "To be sure, all human beings are God's offspring by virtue of being created in the image and the likeness of God. But we become the reconciled children only by adoption or new birth." We're all children of God in the sense that we are created, all people are, in the image and likeness of God. But to have that reconciled relation means that we have come to new life in Christ. And Paul says that our changed status in relationship to God comes as a result of us knowing that we are loved and forgiven by God through Christ Jesus. And this is the work of God, the Holy Spirit, in each of our lives. So when you struggle with doubts of whether you are good enough to be acceptable to God, just remember, no one is good enough in their own humanity to be acceptable to God. All that matters is that you believe and trust for yourself that Jesus, that His life and His death was good enough to be acceptable to God. The great reformer, Martin Luther, it's amazing, but he went through periods of real doubt regarding his own salvation throughout his life. But as the truth of God's adoption of him as his reconciled child, as that began to take deeper and deeper root in Martin's life, when those doubts would come on him and when they would come upon him, he would shout out loud, "I am baptized. I am baptized." And that was Luther's way of declaring to himself and to the devil that he was a child of God. I think all of us have doubts at times, from time to time, because we know our feet are made of clay and we don't always live the way that God wants us to. Oh, heck, sometimes we don't live the way we want to. But when those doubts begin to creep in, that you aren't good enough for God to love you, say or shout to yourself, say or shout to the devil, "I am a child of God. I am a child of God." The only way you can say that is by the Holy Spirit living in you. So when the doubts come, you say, "I am a child of God. I am a child of God." Amen. Amen. And see, that's what the Holy Spirit does for us. As it convicts us of sin, it also convinces us of the relationship that we have as God's beloved and adopted child. So Paul goes on from there. The freedom that replaces fear is seen then in the intimacy of our relationship with the Father. So the third thing that we see in this text is that because of the Holy Spirit's work in our lives, we no longer need to fear God as judge. We now have boldness to approach God as our loving Father. We cry out, "Abba, Father." Now, Abba is another word for Father that conveys a closeness that is free from fear of our standing before God and filled with love. It's the language that a child would use to address her or his father. Eugene Peterson in The Message paraphrases the term with the word "papa." I've heard some folks in our church pray that way to God, addressing him as "papa," which I think is a delightful way of understanding this word. We can know and we are prompted to pray to the Almighty Creator of the universe as our loving Heavenly Father because of the work of God, the Holy Spirit, in our lives. The story is told of a traveler in Ireland who one day in his travels happened upon a peasant who was sitting by the road. The traveler was struck by the peaceful and contented look on the man's face. And he was so struck by that he was compelled to ask the peasant, "Why are you so happy?" And the peasant responded, "Oh, I was just praying to my Heavenly Father. He's quite fond of me, you know." That's the work of the Holy Spirit that prompts you to pray, "Abba, Father." For God is quite fond of you as well. Thanks be to God. Now, fourth and finally, as the adopted children of God, we are now also heirs of God and co-heirs with Christ for the glory of God. Being the adopted children of God does not spare us from suffering in the world, and Paul goes on in the rest of the text to unpack that quite a bit. It doesn't free us, as we know, from struggle in this world. In fact, we know that because we are God's children, those reconciled, adopted children of God, that we will face, in some cases, even more struggle and more suffering because of persecution for our identity as followers of Jesus. But because the Holy Spirit is powerfully at work in your life, you are generously given the resources to overcome suffering and to overcome sin. And what inspires that within us is this work of the Holy Spirit that helps us know that the glory that awaits us far outweighs the struggles we must endure in this life. Now, it's interesting to me that when we hear the word heir, and by Paul calling us heir and co-heirs with Christ, I mean, quite naturally, we think of an inheritance. And I think it makes sense to think of what Paul's speaking of as the same thing perhaps that Peter is referring to in 1 Peter 2:14, where he speaks of that inheritance that can never perish, spoil, or fade away, kept in heaven for you. But I think Paul is looking at it a little bit differently than Peter at this point. I think Paul has something else in mind. Because what we share here, Paul is calling us to and reminding us of, is we share in God Himself. As God more fully possesses our lives, we more fully possess God's life in us. I think Paul alludes to this elsewhere in his writings in 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verse 28, when he writes that the day is coming when God will be everything to everyone. And it is the Holy Spirit that assures us as God's children. The Holy Spirit also assures us that we are God's heir and that we will most certainly share in God's glory because we will fully possess God's life in us. That longing for that depth of relationship is what we sang of this morning in our second song of praise. And I heard you entering into that. And as we tasted that in our worship today, that's a gift. That's a work of the Holy Spirit in our lives, a foretaste of the glory to come as God becomes all in all for us. So in these few, three, four verses, what we have are four ways, four of the many ways that the Holy Spirit works in us as the reconciled, believing community, as the reconciled, believing followers of Jesus. Just four. I mean, there's many, many more. But I think these four can make all the difference in our lives. Our lives will be marked as we remember and as we live into these by a greater holiness, a deeper intimacy with God, where fear is replaced by fondness and suffering is gladly endured because of the glory that awaits us as heirs of God and co-heirs with Christ. Thanks be to Him. Amen. I'm going to lead us in prayer now, but I invite you to enter into the spirit of prayer, praying with me as I give voice to some of the concerns and some of the blessings that God has given us over these past weeks. Would you join me in prayer? God, the Holy Spirit, how thankful we are today to be able to celebrate the birth of your church, to be those who are here this morning because of what happened on that first Pentecost. And with that very same presence in our lives of you, Holy Spirit, to be able to carry forth faithfully the witness of the gospel. Lord, may it be true, more profoundly true in each of our lives. Help us to remember that you are the one that leads us, that you are the one that replaces fear with freedom, that you are the one that makes us a co-heir with your Son, Jesus. And Lord, as we live from those places more faithfully and more fully, may the light of Jesus just shine more brightly from us so that people will see the hope that we have. And people will observe and notice the love that we have. not only for you, O God, but for all others. O Holy Spirit, descend on us with that power of your presence in our lives, so that we may carry forth the good work of the gospel, so that we may live joyfully and generously as your children, so that we may celebrate, even when life is very hard, extremely difficult, even when life seems to have more questions than answers. We know the one that holds us, holds eternity in your hands. We can rest in that, and we can rejoice as well. God, this morning our hearts are filled with gratitude for your work among us, the presence of your Spirit, the love that we experience here, and also the way in which that spills over out into the world. God, we're thankful for the generosity of your people. Today we're marking the beginning of the camping season for us here in the Central Conference with Covenant Harbor and Covenant Point. Lord, we're so grateful for all those who have supported camping ministry through their prayers and through their contributions, and how it's enabled us, oh God, to send children of this church and the extended family of this church to camp. And God, we're just so thankful for that, and so thankful for the generosity of your people. And we want to pray today for Autumn Schultz, the niece of Terry Wagner, and also for Mia, as they will begin their week of camp up at Covenant Harbor. Lord, open them up to all that you would have them experience and the growth that you want to see in their lives. We pray, O God, your rich blessing upon them and upon both our camps as the staff now enter into an intense summer of ministry. We ask, O God, for energy for them and for patience and for joy and strength, O God, as they do the good work that is done year in and year out for the gospel at both Covenant Point and Covenant Harbor. And Lord, today we're rejoicing for the good work you did in Desiree's life and Greta's life, all the North Park seminarians that were able to go to Congo over these past few weeks. We're grateful, O God, for the impact that the Congolese pastors had on them and the opportunity to study together in community. God, we're very excited and anxious to hear about that work, and we're just grateful, oh God, for that, and so thankful that they're back safely home with us. Lord, this week we as a nation marked the 75th anniversary of D-Day, and there was much celebration and much recognition of our veterans. And Lord, we want to pray for all those who have served faithfully in our armed forces. And we ask your blessing upon those who remain that are alive and with us today. We ask for your blessing upon their families. And today, God, we want to ask your special blessing upon Matt Harper, one of our own members serving our country in the United States Navy. We ask, O God, for your protection upon him and his shipmates, and we pray, O God, for your strengthening of Matt. We ask, O God, for your strengthening and peace for his family, for Bill and Susie, especially, O Lord. Remind them that Matt is in your care and in your keeping. Lord, today as well, as we look at our Sharing Globally prayer calendar, we notice that today we're called as a church to pray for the work that you are doing in Mexico among our various covenant ministries and the various congregations there in Mexico. And so, Lord, we ask your rich blessing upon all of our brothers and sisters gathered there in communities of faith that are worshiping you and seeking to live out the gospel. Lord, we know that with our own country, nation to nation, relationships are strained. But the gospel of Christ, Lord, it has a way of working to change those strained relationships into loving relationships. And so, God, we just pray. We pray for the people of Mexico. We pray for the good news of the gospel going forth in power there. And we pray, oh God, for our own team that is heading out to Monterrey, Mexico in just over a month. That you would be preparing them and equipping them to be not only a blessing, but even more so to come with the attitude being blessed by the believers there in Monterey. And as we serve together and partner together in good gospel work, we ask, O God, that the power and presence of the same Holy Spirit spoken of by Paul in these verses in Romans will be so evident to us as we serve side by side with the team there in Monterey. Father, in a couple of days, just on the 11th of this month, we are asked to pray for our own Eugenio and Pia Restrepo. God, I don't know how they keep it all straight. Being the regional coordinators of all the covenants work in Latin America is a daunting task, but God, they do it with such grace and such fervor. Keep them strong. Keep them well, Lord. Give them deep wisdom as they seek to speak into challenging situations. And Eugenio was telling me this week about the ongoing crisis of the Colombian churches seeking to minister to all the Venezuelan immigrants, Lord, that still flood into Colombia from Venezuela. And how our small church there is trying to be faithful and to do big work. And God, I'm grateful that we have partnered with them. We're going to partner with them in our VBS time as well to help support that work. But Lord, give our Colombian brothers and sisters insight and wisdom and resources and strength to continue the good work of the gospel, not only in their own midst, but as they seek to serve those immigrants from Venezuela that are continuing to come into that country. A little closer to home, O God, we want to give you thanks for Anita's successful surgery, praying that you would bless her in her recovery. We want to pray for Ronnie as she discerns the best treatment for her shoulder. We want to continue to lift up our sister Barbara and Nancy Edison and Chris Kalis. And Lord, I pray for myself today for discernment for my physical need as well. And finally, God, we want to lift to you our covenant annual meeting that is taking place in Omaha this year. We have some important decisions to make. And Lord, these decisions are filled with a variety of opinions. And we just pray for the discernment of your Holy Spirit. We pray for the love of Jesus Christ. We pray, O God, that as we debate and discuss these important matters, that you would give us the mind of Christ and help us, O God, to follow you as your people. And so we pray, O God, for your presence to be powerfully among us as we do the good and, in this case, the hard work of the church. Lord, we commit all these things to you, knowing that what is impossible to us is possible with you. You've shown that time and time and again, not only in your word, but in the history of the church, and Lord, even in our history here at Edgebrook. And so with gratitude in our hearts today, O God, for the pouring out of your Spirit and your call to march in the light of the good news of Jesus Christ, we give ourselves to you. With joy. In the name of Jesus, our Lord and Savior. Amen. Let's stand together and send ourselves out with some wonderful words of inspiration and a call to follow the Lord.
Amen. As children of God's Spirit, we are children of the light, and together